going back into open session here. We are moving right along. We have item 7C, which we are going to push back to after closed session, so some work can be done on that. We're going to move right up to, I'm going to move right into our public hearing since we have people here for that. That's okay with the board. Not speak your piece. Item 13, public hearing protocol. We have, I'm going to do item B since that's going to be anticipated to be continued. Community development public hearing, consider Kidder Creek Orchard Camp zone change.
Good morning, Greg Dean, Community Development Director. Supervisors, we staff recommend this item be continued. We have some information that is going to be brought forward through OES that needs to be incorporated into the staff meeting, our staff report. So once I received, therefore we'll suggest this continue to the 18th of April.
Okay. I'll make that motion.
Well, I got a quick question. We're technically opening the public hearing, correct?
Yes.
Mr. Kiernan?
No, not really.
I'm sorry, what's the question?
Are for 13B, they're requesting to continue a public hearing, but we want to open it first.
Yes. You would open it.
Open it and continue.
And then continue. So, Mr. Haupt, you're making the motion to continue to
Second.
April 18. Okay. And Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsip?
Aye.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela.
Okay, so that was all we did there was open it already?
Open it, yep.
Okay, so at this point, I want to just go through it real quick, and then because I'm going to take public comment, so. Rip, Rogers.
And that's 13B.
B, yeah. Mm-hmm. Just a quick overview.
Yeah.
Where's my
so essentially, Peter Key Orchard Camp project, been working at for some time. It's been planning commission back up here, and also back for reconsideration. So today, as I mentioned, there's some additional fire modeling is going to be completed by OES. We do not have a report at this time. It needs to be incorporated into our staff report. Therefore, we're suggesting that it's continued.
Okay, and that's what we're going to do. But I do want to take public comment because we have people here. So if anyone wants to speak on this matter, raise your hand online. Knowing that this is going to be continued. Anyone else?
Battery 90%. Color ending in 2131. It is your turn to speak.
My name is Ann Marsh. I submitted a letter on just a very brief one because I believed it was going to be continued, the public hearing. And one of the things that I would like the supervisors to understand is that the count of bodies at Kidder Creek Orchard Camp at any one time is severely understated in the EIR as it was in the initial study mitigated negative declaration. They base it on overnight occupancy of the camp, which evades any analysis of all the other people coming into that camp, thereby affecting traffic and noise. This EIR needs to be sent back and redone. The other issue that I brought forward was in the ISMND, which is the initial study mitigated negative declaration, there's a place where they say that there's no need for septic because it's being provided by the MCSD with no explanation of that abbreviation. But I don't think either the McLeod Community Services District or anyone else with that acronym comes to Scott Valley to provide sewage services. This is a huge issue because of our grounds here, and that needs to be revisited too, as it would have been had there been a full EIR. I call for a full EIR being required. Thank you very much for your time, and good luck with everything.
Anyone else have?
Showing
no others
online.
Okay, motion to continue this.
Oh, we did that already.
Okay.
Yep, and I got the vote as well.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, so this item will be continued to the next April
18.
All right. Let's move on to our next big one here. Item A, continued public hearing or board discussion, direction, possible action, presentation of a vacation rental analysis report.
Chair Valenzuela.
Go ahead.
I recused myself from this one and I reached out to FPPC, still waiting for feedback.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Well, you gotta wait till he gets outside. Oh. If he's gonna recuse himself, I don't want him anywhere near this subject.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
All right. Haley Lane, Planning Director. So during the February 21st Board of Supervisors meeting, staff presented the vacation rental analysis report along with policy recommendations from the Planning Commission. There was then a very robust discussion amongst the board regarding vacation rentals throughout the county, and it is apparent that our county has varying interests and conditions, which lend to a diverse range of needs and issues. Based on the range of needs and issues, staff broke up the county into zones based on census tracts and is recommending that these zones have tailored policies because we cannot use a one-size-fits-all strategy and apply it throughout the county. If you go to page 5 of the staff report, there is a summary of tailored policies to their respective census tract zones. To summarize, staff is recommending to remove the 2.5-acre minimum to the Butte Valley, McLeod, Wairika, Klamath River, and Scott Valley zones. Staff is recommending that we move from a land use entitlement, which runs with the land, to an activity permit, which would run with the property owner. Staff is also recommending that all of these zones are put on an every 3 years inspection cycle. Staff is also recommending to not cap permits in Butte Valley, Wairika, Klamath River, and Scott Valley zones. Staff is recommending to cap permits at 10% for the McLeod zone, which is based on the vacancy rate, and to cap permits at 5% for the Dunsmuir and Mount Shasta and Mead zones. This number was based on the vacancy rate data provided at the previous board supervisor meeting, which notes that McLeod is currently at a vacancy rate of 4%, while Dunsmuir, Mount Shasta, and Weed have around 1% to 2%. These caps could be reevaluated every 5 years. I wanted to bring up 2 points for discussion today. One, which would be to require a property owner to live in the home for 2 years prior to being allowed to apply for a vacation rental permit. This would potentially make sense in areas that have a lot of second homeowners and out-of-area property owners that don't spend time in neighborhoods that they have homes in. Requiring this time frame could potentially allow the investment property owners to gain an understanding of whether or not it would make sense to operate a vacation rental in their residential neighborhood and to also gain consensus amongst their neighbors. Another point of discussion I wanted to bring up today would be to potentially modify these zones into three main zones. It would be to merge Butte Valley, Scott Valley, Klamath River, Wairika, and Scott Valley into one zone. McLeod would be its own zone, and Weed, Dunsmuir, and Mount Shasta could be another zone. The reasoning behind this is that these zones, these three zones have similar conditions and recommended policies. Lastly, it was the request of Supervisor Valenzuela to connect with the Sheriff's Department to see if we have any calls related to vacation rental properties. So when we connected with the Sheriff's Department, they search everything by property owner and by address. And so the Planning Department, we have a maintained list of permitted vacation rentals based on APN. So there is a discrepancy there. So, you know, as a second option, we did look into our code enforcement cases that we have on vacation rentals. And we've had 5 code cases related to permitted vacation rental properties over the past 3 years.
5.
And that concludes my comments, and happy to answer any questions.
Okay, so that was presentation. Staff, any correspondence, Wendy?
Not for vacation rental.
Any arguments by staff?
Not for the other ones.
Anything? Proponents, arguments? Opponents? Go right to public comment there.
Caller ending in 7039, it's your turn to speak.
Hello, this is Mr. Bullington. I sent a letter to each one of the board members. I meant to be there today, but I couldn't be there. But what I'm calling about is it's not clear to me that the specific reason that the SDRs need further regulation. I'm not understanding the problem they're trying to fix. There's a lot of misunderstanding surrounding SDRs. if they were all the trouble that some people think, the owners wouldn't go through the effort. There's a train of thought that some people that hardworking locals are standing in line waiting to buy houses, and now the counters swoop in and snatch them out from under their noses. It's not true. Ask realtors. Their clients are not local, at least not in the cloud. People buying homes here are just normal families who want a vacation home here. In my circumstance, I found a house for sale and made an offer. At the time, I didn't live here, but my dad was born in McLeod, I was raised in Alshevka, and my family is 16 county pioneers. I'm as local as they get. So I'm just saying not all the out-of-area people should be considered people who don't care about the community and whether they live here 2 years. In McLeod, Discover Siskiyou reported that McLeod had 8,000 visitors the last year's Mushroom Festival. That's what tourism means to this town. We need hotels, B&Bs, RV parks, and STRs to offer our guests options, or our residents will not be successful. One last thing, I'm wondering what the county's policy is on recusing oneself. I understand Mr. Chris's conflict of interest when it comes to voting on this matter, but I think it's weird that Hank can't even be present to hear the discussion. That seems strange to me. I've never heard of it working that way. And 29% of your vacation rental owners are going unheard by their representative. That's all I have to say. Thanks.
County Council, could you clarify recusing yourself and what the process is with that?
Yes. A supervisor who recuses himself or herself is not to participate in any way in the process. And best practice to facilitate that is for the supervisor to leave the room. That way, they couldn't even inadvertently influence the rest of the board by making faces or signing or what have you. It's just best practice to leave the room, so that's what Supervisor Chris has done.
That was my interpretation of it. Of all things, I had been on the Sierra Nevada Conservancy. I had to do the state ethics, and that was one of the things about recusing yourself. Anyone else online that would like to speak to the subject?
Showing no others online.
Anyone in-house? Rebuttal. Back proponents, rebuttal. This will be a continued, so we're not going to close this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's have a discussion with the board. Is that out?
I think we've gone through the information provided in the spreadsheet that adequately represents what I said, and I support that.
I like what you presented this morning with the three region. That makes more sense. I do not like it by district at all. I'll let you know that quite clearly, because I don't like pitting a supervisorial district against another one.
Mm-hmm.
And that I feel that it does do that.
Okay.
I think that one of the things that needs to enter this dialogue, as the caller even indicated, two things that the caller indicated. One, I'm not comfortable not having some form of representation out of McLeod.
Mm-hmm.
I think you need to contact the service district there and get an idea if they have CCNRs for the district or not, if there's anything like that. I think other areas do have that and that are in the county, mm-hmm. so it would be good to get some feedback,
sure.
not just from vacation rental owners,
mm-hmm.
but from the effects, net effect to the community.
Mm-hmm.
I think McLeod in the past was part of the issue, like Shasta Holiday Subdivision, small, close-knit
yes.
community, and was being bought up by the outside and no housing for locals.
Mm-hmm.
So I keep hearing that that's not a problem, but yet we're dealing with a housing element that says it's a problem.
Right.
So we're kind of exasperating it, to me, in my opinion, of what we're doing to what is already available.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I think that we need to bring into this dialogue is where this all started. I know then Supervisor Joan, I think she was Joan Freeman at that time,
mm-hmm.
and so that resolution that was never codified into county ordinance, we need to see that, because that's where this all started. And then when we found out it hadn't been codified, we were trying to codify it, and that opened this can of worms that we're into now.
Okay.
So I think that needs to enter into this.
Sure.
The 3-year inspection I'm good with. The cap element, I'm still not sold on that.
Okay.
I'm not sold on removing the 2.5-acre parcel minimum. I guess it depends on the region.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to use the COPCO folks that were here the last time. To me, because there's, if I remember this correctly, there was two separate homes that were vacation rentals and several lots in between that were empty. In those cases, I think we should be looking at taking that, I'll call it a subdivision, and looking at that to allow that to occur, because it's not developed yet. It's, even though it's residential, it appears that it's moving in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
Where I get the angst is because it's in residential, close-knit communities.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing I think that we need to bring into this dialogue, and it's coming up, and I don't know how we want to handle it, but Williamson Act folks, it's starting to surface that, you know, we did the long-term rentals, availability to that. I think that we need to discuss what we're going to do with that with regard to vacation rentals, because that subject's coming up. So I think that it needs to be part of this dialogue as well. I'm not sure you've got here that fees will be determined by the auditor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I get that you get a breakdown of what the costs are from the auditor, but I don't know that they're determined by the auditor. I think they're determined by this board based on that information that may come up on the cost analysis. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. It came from the director. Typical protocol for establishing fees, right? We're not allowed
right.
to make a profit on it, right?
Right.
So we would provide the auditor with anticipated hours, staffing, and so forth, overhead, and they would do an ICRP analysis on that.
Right.
Come up with a fee, and then
right.
we have to come to the board for approval.
I get it, but it sounds as though that it's done by the auditor's office the way it's presented, and I think it needs to be clarified that it's just to be determined. Does that make sense versus
yeah.
that
yeah.
you know, the auditor's going to tell you how much it's going to be? I'll leave it at that for now. And the 2-year residency thing. I think
mm-hmm.
that's excellent. And I do think there needs to be a provision in here that, you know, where this started from originally was an entity came in and bought, I don't know, 12 or 14 homes and was going to convert them all to vacation rentals. And that's what started this whole dialogue. And I don't know that, you know, that's a complete commercial endeavor. And I don't think that should be allowed in any form, especially buying up residential areas, because that could be problematic.
Mm-hmm.
But the two, something to that effect, and that the 2-year clause, that helps a lot.
Okay.
Supervisor Rucker?
Along the same line, we're trying to keep the developers out, so the 2 years for ownership and living there, that makes perfect sense.
Okay.
The cap, I think I'm okay with those in the different zones
mm-hmm.
that you have established. I like the zones. I think that works,
okay.
considering what we discussed before.
Sure.
The 2.5 acres, I'm still on the fence on that. I just,
okay.
I've been in short-term rentals in more urban places where I just haven't had, being a renter, in areas that are more urban, I just don't see where it's an issue. I understand here where we're more rural and we have to deal with the septic issues. I do understand that aspect of it. So in that respect, yes. But as far as just being near a neighbor, I'm not so sure about it. So I'm still on the fence on that. Other than that, I don't have too much further number.
Thank you, Haley. I think we're making strides here. I think we're moving right along. I do think that the 2.5 acre for me in Mount Shasta is prudent.
Okay.
I do not want to open up another can of worms because it's a popular destination. So it's one thing to be living in Kopko when you get sporadic people.
Absolutely.
And I now we put that moratorium on recently.
Yeah.
So I'm just stepping back to where we were initially. For me, this came out of the Holiday subdivision, which is very small, and they're complaining about the cost. Well, that's not jiving with the percentage which you've said.
Right.
I do think there are people, and I've been next to vacation where I didn't call, but I didn't get a good night's sleep either. So, again, this is just a moving target that we're trying to do.
Yep.
I like having the smaller, smaller version, because I think, we talk about all the area up north, they get tourists, but not like, Mount Shasta and McLeod. I do think McLeod should have some input.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate so much of Chris. But I think you're from there. I get what's going on over there.
Yeah.
And I do like the ratio. There's still room to grow for vacation rentals. We're not just shutting. Hey, there's a park launch. And I would like to believe, because government doesn't build houses, that maybe there's an incentive to build some houses, build something there. I mean, so maybe that's, so I've gotten away from putting a fee to build out, because that's just going to add another bureaucracy to it that, we're not, unfortunately, I don't want to add another layer to it, if you will.
Sure.
So those are some of my initial. Did you want to add something?
To me, the differentiation between the district is a good representation of the diversity of the people we represent. And I see it as reducing conflict between us, because, like, the 2.5 acres in Happy Camp, that eliminates me rebuilding some of the housing that I lost in fire, and in a place where I don't have a big footprint of land down there, and there really was no issue, in places like that. And then I do have another zoning layer I have to deal with in my district, that there's no opportunity for other types of housing development in all of Scott Valley. So we are different. And one size fits all just produces conflict to me across the county, but the given issues that we have and the differences in our land uses.
Well, I would just say thank you, because I think we're getting to where it's very, it's not a cookie cutter.
Right.
I don't think we ever intended it to be a cookie cutter.
I appreciate that.
Again, I just want to mitigate what I know is going to happen. We open up to less than 2.5 acres, we're going to have a flood of complaints.
Right.
That's just the nature of what happens here. That wasn't before. I don't want to add that to it. So that's why I would say it and leave it there. And then the other piece to it is, and thank you, by the way, for the housing piece that from Mono County. I think it's in the packet. Yeah.
Oh, it's in that June email.
Appreciate that, because, if there's one thing I've learned, every county that I've been dealing with, whether it's Tahoe or, they're all having variations of the theme. And then, again, they can't cookie cutter the project either. So.
Right.
Any follow-up conversation?
No, I appreciate the conversation, because, and that's part of what we brought up to begin with, is we have to look at the diversity of the county, and that's part of this zoning aspect. And I agree with Supervisor Hopton that, the 2.5 acre thing brings up a whole different aspect of how we build and how we zone for housing. Although I still see two sides of that story. It makes it a little bit more difficult for just trying to build a home and what we want to do with it. So it is a little bit more difficult to look at that, although I don't want to cause more controversy moving forward in trying to just settle this. So I understand both sides to that story.
Well, I'll use Kopko as the example. Again, having worked out there before, I saw these couple of vacation things. To me, if they need all the help they can get, there's going to be a project that they
absolutely
can get some rent,
Yeah.
We got to help, we got to do what we can on that. But, and it was never an issue. I've never had one issue from any vacation rental owner from anything other than McLeod, Dunford, Mount Shasta. And so, I mean, are you okay with weed being part of the subset down there?
Yeah. Because the cities can do whatever they want.
Correct.
And Lake Chestina has its own CCNR, so it all works that way.
Right.
I just want clarification on Supervisor Ogren, on when you said zones, are you talking about the seven zones or the three regions?
These three regions.
The three regions.
Yes.
I like that better than the seven.
Okay.
That makes more sense.
Yes.
Okay. You have enough to go on?
Yeah, and I guess what the other clarification is, the 2.5 acre minimum, I don't understand how that affects housing. It affects vacation rental, but it doesn't affect...
Which is what we lost.
But if you're rebuilding for housing, you're building for housing residential. You're not building for vacation rental.
But we have temporary housing needs in Happy Camp that we lost.
That's still a different subject of a vacation rental.
Yeah, that's what I'm not following.
Well, they're rented as vacation rentals. For a lack of better terms, on a less than 30-day basis.
You can still rebuild. We're not going to stop that.
No, but if you want to rent it on a short-term basis, and it's not on 2.5 acres, then you're...
But long-term rentals are still good.
Well, but two and a half acre was never a county-wide thing. It was just a moratorium. And I think it was just a stop so we could get a grasp of what we're doing. We're going to take that away. We're going to leave it in Mount Shasta. That's my wish.
That's fine. Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to affect whatever you're considering. Correct.
No, I was speaking to if we did a one size fits all across the
country. No, we're not going to do that.
Right.
Rick, did you want something?
Yes, and through the chair, Rick Ian, Community Development Director. We had a little bit of discussion about this at the last meeting, but I want to bring it up again for further discussion, and that is the idea of getting away from the use permit and moving to an operational permit, potentially. And then also seeing how there may be some support for going to a two-year occupancy prior to. Perhaps you don't need to do the three-year inspection aspect of it, given that we don't have a lot of complaints. Just as an additional cost to the staff and so forth. So, threw that out for more further discussion.
We were about ready to quit this item.
don't muddy the water.
Yeah. Well, so let's dive into that. So, you know, to me, I think the two-year occupancy serves a purpose.
Sure.
I still think that we should have an inspection. Mm-hmm. I think there's something to be said there because. Complaint, whatever it is. Hey, you've got 2 years now, you got to do an inspection. You know, maybe spread it out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm open to whatever you can come up with.
Okay.
Court?
It's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't like the hands off thing. It's just not anything.
There's something else that creeps into this that's different. And I guess we should clarify, ADU units do not qualify under state law, period.
Correct.
We have no control over that.
Correct.
Right. So we need to clarify that. But the other side of that coin is a vacation rental within landowner occupied at the same time is a lot different than just a vacation rental that stands alone by itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if we address that in this or not.
I would say that would definitely need to be addressed in the potential zoning ordinance to clarify that usually the term is hosted or unhosted. So either you're living on the property or you're not. And then whatever the board decides with that.
Because I think in the past, you had to have a maintenance or some type of management.
That has to be local.
Yeah.
It has to be local.
Yeah.
That's a current.
But it didn't work that well. And I'll go back to Shasta Holiday.
Mm-hmm.
When you got five of them, and you know they're calling in complaints, and there's no reaction to that. So,
mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's another element to this as
sure.
well. I'd like to get it kind of ironed out
before
we don't have to keep coming back at it. So.
Yeah. Okay.
And then maybe also build in whatever the complaint process is, so we can track it in the future moving forward.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think the more we do on the front end, because mm-hmm. I can envision something happening. What if Copco, as an example, became a place where everyone wants to build a house and became a vacation rental spot? You know, now we have to reopen it. You know, so I want to, you know, the complaint I think if we track that, would be a good way to be ahead of the curve, well ahead of the curve, so to speak.
Okay.
That, I mean, for me, 5 complaints over 3 years, I mean, that's not something that would have driven a huge change in my world review.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. And lastly, just to confirm, is the board okay with moving from a land use entitlement permit to a property owner permit, so an activity permit, so it doesn't run with the land, it runs with the property owner?
Yeah, it should. Okay. That way it can go away,
yeah.
Right?
Right.
Yeah,
otherwise,
and then you would reapply if you sold the home and wanted to continue that.
And I agree with that only because I know that permits with the property have created problems for us.
Yeah.
So it should end with the property owner.
Mm-hmm.
And if they want to redo it, or a new owner wants to redo it, they come into the process.
Mm-hmm.
And just like what you're doing with the Williamson Act, because you're trying to bring those into single
correct
property
single
owners instead
yeah.
of
right
what's
land.
Happened in the past. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
And that's
right.
Continued to April 18th, correct?
Is
did we decide on the second to maybe? The second meeting
oh,
of the month?
Sorry. How much time do you need?
Sorry. I think the last discussion at the last meeting was the second Tuesday.
Give yourself enough time.
Okay.
Yeah, I would not want this item to be on the April 18th agenda. So maybe the meeting after that.
The next
the
one
first
would be the first
May,
one
the first
in
May.
May. Mm-hmm. I believe would be like the 4th or 5th.
May
2nd. May 2nd.
May 2nd.
Okay.
Is that
after
3rd?
Yes.
Okay.
You can keep it.
Yeah.
Thank you. That helps a lot.
Let's go back to our regular scheduled programming. We're going to convene as the Flood Control Water Conservation District. Any public comment? Yeah, we don't need them. Ed, could you get the shoes, please? Oh, so he was listening. So as Chris back in to the fold here, we're going to move on to Flood Control Water Conservation District. Item 8A, public comment. Seeing none, we've got item B, transfer of funds. Take your time.
Move to approve, right? We're ready to roll.
I'm here. So
yeah.
Thank you.
You paused for a minute. I thought, oh, what?
Okay. Director Haupt?
Aye.
Director Kopsa?
Aye.
Director Chris?
Aye.
Director Ogren?
Aye.
And Director Valenzuela?
Yep. Item C, consent agenda.
Hold that for discussion.
Absolutely. Great.
Okay. I'm quite want to say here with this MOU. I'm going to start off with I don't have any objection to developing an MOU or consulting with any craft within the county. It is the right of those governments to interface this board and to consult with us. There's specific language in this that contradicts Aboriginal territories, which all of the tribes were invited to participate in when we did AB 52, and that's regarding the mouth of the sky. I'm in a very difficult position in that, I remind the board, we have 5 tribes within the county. I have members of 4 of them in my district that I try my best to represent, and I try my best not to get buried in their politics, but to represent their needs as far as the interface of the county. So I don't want to be in a position of redefining the research that the University of Pennsylvania did going into AB 52, and which I see this particular language actually does that. If a tribe wants to claim whatever, I don't really care. that's their business. I just can't make a decision me, I mean, the rest of the board can't. I don't feel comfortable making a decision that would favor one tribe over another within my own district.
Anyone else want to weigh in?
So, through the chair.
Yeah.
So I understand what Supervisor Haupt is indicating. I think we've offered this MOU, and I guess council can weigh in on the legality of the MOU and what it actually does. But bottom line is, it's my understanding is we've offered to have the same MOU template, I'll call it, for any other tribe that wants to sign on. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. And we've reached out to one other tribe or had communication with one other tribe to develop one. Sadly, we just haven't been able to get something scheduled because
so
their representatives.
This would not terminate that. It would,
correct.
I mean, that dialogue is still open and we could have another one through the Shasta Nation, correct?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. So I think that's fair. I think I'll just say it. The other difficulty that I think this brings is that this, we've already passed this one in the past, and this is an updated one. And so that kind of added a little bit of a wrinkle to it. But it wasn't meant, I don't think, intentionally to become, to divide tribes. I think we were just trying to get to the place of having this understanding of the communication. So if council could weigh in on the legality of what this does to the boundaries, if at all, I appreciate it.
Sure. Actually, Natalie Reed is the one who worked on it. I have my thoughts, but she's the one who worked on it, and I'd rather
okay.
her answer the question. She's online.
Natalie.
90%. Hi, this is Natalie. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. This recital in this MOU does not change anybody's ancestral territory. It is just a statement about what the Karuk tribe has advised the county under AB 52. Other tribes can advise the county of their ancestral territory, and our recognizing what they tell us does not change anything about anybody's boundaries. And, you know, in various other jurisdictions, it's normal that you can receive notice of ancestral territories that overlap each other. And again, this has no impact on any tribe.
Thank you. That's it. Yeah, that's all.
Anyone else?
Yeah, quickly. We've worked for a really long time to try to make sure that we've done our best to notify and include and not alienate anybody in this, I want to call it a negotiation. This conversation, and as Mr. Parker said, we've gone out of our way to make sure that everybody has been included in the conversation. We've reached out. We've done our best to make sure that we've included and asked and invited the conversation to be open and honest and as straightforward as possible. And I'm not sure that any other words in this document can change the outcome. And it can be the same for everybody. And that's the goal, is to make sure that the next document is the same and does the same thing. So, and you know, that's what we're trying to do, is make sure that it's equal and for everybody. So, and, you know, that's what we hope we can do, is have the same conversation with everybody. So, you know, that's the end goal for those of us that were at the table.
If there's no further questions, I would move to approve.
Thank you. Yeah, for me, in reading the email that was sent to us, and then also the bottom whereas on the first MOU, where it says the tribe has, the Creek tribe, the tribe has notified the district of its Aboriginal territory. If the resolution or MOU had said the district determines the tribe's Aboriginal territory, or the district affirms the tribal territory, or the district advocates, or whatever it would be, then I think we'd be stepping into a different tribes' interest in different tribes' area. But saying that we've been notified just means that we've been notified, and we respect that we've been notified of information.
Well, I'll say this, you know, when it comes to tribal negotiation, you know, dealing with, you know, it's always been a struggle, you know, trying to get us all, you know, at the same time, whatever. I don't see that this is going to, you know, this is about signal. This is, right? I mean, we're forced on having to deal with this. We're just trying to do the best we can. We're not trying to get into tribal ancestral, any and all that. That's not in our purview, if you will. So I don't see that this is anything we're going to do here is going to change that dynamic. So.
And just to add, you know, if somebody did get misrepresented in the future, we could always correct it and say this is what, you know,
we want their participation.
This is
come to the party.
This is the intent of this MOU. If it's misrepresented in the future, it will be.
We all live here. We all got to figure out how we're going to deal with water, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, and before the motion, I just wanted to comment that this letter was received last night at the clerk's office and brought to the board's attention. It's from Sammy DeFantorum, and she's with the Shasta tribe, is that it?
Shasta Nation.
Shasta Nation, okay. Just wanted to make sure that's on the record. So.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Board's wishes.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay. Director Haupt?
Just make one plea going forward that all the tribes respect each other's cultural ancestry going forward, and I'll abstain.
Abstain? Thank you. Director Kopseff?
Aye.
Director Chris?
I'll be an aye.
Director Obrin?
Aye.
And Director Valenzuela?
Sure. Okay, we're going to move on. We're going to adjourn as the flood control and convene as County Service Area 3. Public comment. Minute approval.
No changes have been received for those.
Move to approve.
Second.
Hang on a sec here. Valenzuela and Kopseff, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Director Haupt?
Aye.
Director Kopseff?
Aye.
Director Chris?
Aye.
Director Obrin?
Aye.
And Director Valenzuela?
Sure. We will now convene as County Service Area 4. Public comment.
Sean Nelman.
Item B, transfer of funds.
Move to approve. B1 and 2, 10B1 and 2.
So both of them, thank you.
Second.
Okay. Director Haupt?
Aye.
Director Kopseff?
Aye.
Director Chris?
Aye.
Director Obrin?
Aye.
And Director Valenzuela?
Thank you, yes.
Thanks.
Item C is a minute approval?
And no corrections
move
on those.
Approve.
Second.
Okay. Director Haupt?
Aye.
Director Kopseff?
Aye.
Director Chris?
Aye.
Director Obrin?
Aye.
And Director Valenzuela?
Sure. Okay, we're going to adjourn as the head or the CSA 4. We're going to come back as a board supervisor. We're going to discuss Zoom and board meetings.
We actually missed 7C.
I'm not going to do that. What is it? 7C?
Oh, the urgency ordinance?
We're going to do that after closed session.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Thought I messed up again, Wendy. You're keeping on the straight and narrow.
I'm trying. But
you're
I forgot too.
You know, I know.
I think Wendy asked to during the meeting too, just to get us.
Keep
all right, let's discuss our Zoom meeting and how this played out. This comes from our incident at the special meeting of Commissioner Director Bonham. It's too bad Joy Paul, the Because one of the issues is our whole audio system, right? So, you know, I think we can just make the broader discussion, spend a few minutes on how we want to proceed. It's specifically to Zoom. I like the fact that we have more public participation. I don't want to discontinue that, but you know, how do we move forward? Is there any Zoom protocols that we can put in place so we can avoid having to take a break? So has staff come up with anything on that front? Go ahead, Anna.
Angela Davis, County Administrator. We have had discussions as to how to monitor closely those who want to interfere with our public meetings. And we are limited with Zoom. We have put in measures into place that we can, you know, monitor, of course, as we did that one instance. And so it's just a matter of continuing to look at Zoom. They're continuing to evolve from when they first started to now, to possibly seek the ability to turn video off or to turn the audio off, which we do have that ability, placing folks in a waiting room. There are different options, but we just need to work through those to make sure that we're not interfering with the meeting itself and allowing people to be able to hear what's going on, if that's the intention of the board. So at this point in time, thus far, we're, again, Anna was a rock star on that day. And so that is, right now, that is our option, is to be able just to monitor what we're reviewing. We can place everybody on a different screen where only Anna would be able to see that screen. However, those that are logged in on that screen, if somebody were to start sharing inappropriate information or pictures, those folks who are zoomed in would be able to see it, even though you would not be able to see it. So that's the caveat that we're trying to work through.
One of the issues, I don't know if this comes up talking with constituents, you know, they would like to be able to see us. You know, I mean, I don't know how we incorporate. So moving forward, when we are we not going to move into the
yes.
So you know, maybe we can incorporate an upgraded system that gives public better participation, so we can see them just as much as they can see us. I'm comfortable with Anna, whoever. You don't need to stop a meeting, tell me there's something going on that doesn't need to be there. You just need to do that. I think would be my direction, anyways. Mm-hmm. Let me get some more board direction. Anyone want to weigh in, sort of, Chris?
Absolutely. One thing that does cross your mind, Ms. Angela, we did put them on a separate page, you know, for Zoom, a separate one for, you know, we're on one and then everybody else is on. Should we have some sort of disclaimer there saying, you know, we'll monitor this, but we cannot control the content put on here? That way, if they shoulder anything around, you know, we can't control the content, and we'll do our best. You know, you'll know the appropriate way to put it down there. Just so, I mean, it's a lot of pressure. Running a meeting, there's a lot to it, a lot going on. So do we need a disclaimer of some sort along those lines?
As you can see, County Council is moving closer to the microphone, and so I would defer to County Council as opposed, you know, to be able to, on our agenda, have a disclaimer or something of that nature. So I'm sure he will elaborate.
Sure, I don't have the magic answer, but I can say this. If, and this is not the circumstances that we're dealing with, let me just start with an understanding of something, which is that if we're having the Zoom meetings pursuant to an emergency, the state law requires that if for some reason it is not available, we discontinue broadcasting, let's say we have a technical problem, let's say, you know, somebody sucks, or pornographic material, what have you, if we're meeting pursuant to this emergency and we interrupt that, then we can't do any kind of business. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about voluntarily allowing the public to participate through Zoom. In that circumstance, there isn't any specific state law that deals with that. We're allowed to do it. What some counties are doing is putting on their agenda something which indicates that in the event that for convenience, they are allowing people to participate remotely using Zoom. If there is an interruption, a technical glitch, the board reserves the right to continue doing business notwithstanding the technical glitch. I can envision also indicating someone is disruptive, and therefore we have to discontinue allowing Zoom participation. Similarly, the board reserves the right to continue conducting business. So this is in a circumstance, not under an emergency, but we're just for a convenience purpose allowing people to participate remotely. Having said that, I can't tell you 100% that's allowed, because there's no state law that deals with the issue, and somebody can conceivably challenge that and say that's not proper. But there's no state law that says we can't do that, and I know that's a direction some counties are going, rather than having a all or nothing. They want to be allow people to participate remotely, but they recognize sometimes situations arise, like technical problems, and in our situation where somebody's posting something inappropriate, where that convenience can't be accommodated.
So. Answered. And then I know we had the last meeting on the Clement River dams for the bad weather, and unfortunately I had to listen online. I was able to participate, unfortunately, but I was able to listen online. And I know there was, looking online, there's quite a few people that, and there was a fire chief that said he couldn't come because of the weather, but he wanted to participate and offer public comment. He'd taken into consideration Mount Hebron to the lake and those areas. So I appreciate the chair trying to extend Zoom. I do know I was really frustrated when we had Director Chuck Bonham here, because when we had the interruption, it took away valuable time, and I had to stop my questions so my colleagues would be able to ask theirs. I hope I gave them enough time, but I don't think they did have enough time to ask their questions. It was very frustrating to have something stop along those lines. So I'd like to keep it going, but we got to, we're duly elected. We have to represent, we have to get our questions across. We're always interrupted. We're not able to do the business work we're supposed to do. So I see the balance the chair is trying to do, respect the approach he's trying to take on this.
Well, it's our approach, it's not mine. This came out of an incident I think has to be addressed in public by the board and how we move forward. So, is it over?
Back before COVID, back in the day, we used to be able to call in by phone but not have visual. I believe.
Nope.
Or maybe it was just my option.
Your board member could, but it was posted.
The public could. Mm-hmm. Could you not? Could you also call?
It was COVID.
So it came out of COVID.
Prior to my being on the board, I could call in and listen, but I don't think. Yeah.
We had. You were right, Supervisor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chair, I can.
Yeah. But there could be no participation.
No, it was just to call in.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Right.
Sure, we had the COVID at the time. That's why we were starting to do that.
Yeah.
This was it was before. It was before I was on the board.
Well, no, but we had COVID. It was Supervisor Nixon on the board.
Yeah.
With her on the board. I'm not trying to be a know-it-all, nothing like that. We had COVID with Supervisor Nixon, so we had the process.
Ms. Davis?
Supervisor Oberyn is correct. You could call in, but you are not allowed to participate.
Oh, you could? Okay.
Yes.
I was wrong. That's cool.
Okay, regardless, we're still going to do Zoom. We're moving forward. Go ahead, Supervisor.
So it was just that you could call in and listen.
Correct.
Without participating.
Correct.
So we've had a lot of morphing since then, but at least the public could still listen, which is huge that it, you don't have to be here, but you can still listen. And granted, the audio wasn't always the best, but it still gave us the option to have our public be able to listen to our meetings. So we've come a long way. We just have to figure out how to allow, whether it's, Anna sitting there being very diligent and, watching this and not interrupting our business, which is the biggest situation, and not offending anybody, which we may do on a daily basis, who knows. So if there's technology that allows that to happen, that's great if we can figure out how to do it, but what I don't want to do is go backwards again. So that's how we have to figure out if there's a filter, if there's some way that we can figure out how to do that without spending $1 billion to do it. And perhaps we can figure out in the other room if we can do a video, if we all want to do that, being on camera all the time, I don't know. if we can try to incorporate some better technology to allow that to happen without having to go back in time.
So, go ahead.
Number of things come to mind. When I was at Terra trying to do Zoom, it was cumbersome. You know, it's hard to run the meeting, and I think our meetings are longer because of it. It's just an observation. Mm-hmm. I think you're getting better at it than we were at the beginning. I don't know how to get past the audio issues with Zoom. You know, you've given me a microphone, but still, there's something wrong in our training or in the phone system or something, you know, because some people, if you're on a laptop, you can hear, or on a cell phone, you can, or vice versa. I don't know, which really irritates people. I get a lot of calls about that.
Well, if I could just adjust that real quick.
Sure.
We have a huge count, multiple different providers,
right.
People on cell phones, people on the internet, people on whatever it is. I think it's just as much technology on that side as it is ours.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that we can't make sure that ours is.
Well, I was going to say, I don't have a lot of faith in ours.
Yes.
I just want to make sure.
Right.
I do want to make sure whatever we're broadcasting is the best we can do. From a participatory standpoint. Because I do get a lot of irritated people that would say they don't hear enough to be able to participate.
I get that routine, just like you do.
Yeah. The other thing I come back to is that the information flow is difficult because if people are in here, you can call on them, the chair is in direct line with them, this third party, through somebody that does a great job. I don't know if there's a way, from a technology standpoint, for you as a chair, whoever the chair is, to be able to acknowledge the screen directly without a third person. When you're in here, you fill out a card. Maybe there's a simple way to do this. When you're in here, you fill out a card rather than having to ask with every darn topic that comes up. Maybe there's a card they could do electronically to place them in a queue rather than having to raise a hand. A lot of people can't figure out how to raise their hand to begin with. I don't know, just logistical things.
There's a lot to it.
Trying to sort out. As far as a video with us, as long as it doesn't become a theatrical performance, that's fine. We've had that discussion before. I think it's good for my district because they are so dispersed. They do have access to us that they typically don't. A lot of them don't take advantage of it. But, I mean, let's face it, who's going to get up in Happy Camp and drive an hour and a half in here at wee hours in the morning to sit through a board meeting on the call? You know, it's a good thing.
Well, I've long been on my soapbox for public participation. Half my job as a supervisor has been, always will be, educating the constituent base. And so, I tell them, hey, look at the agenda, come on. If it's important, if it's really important, they will show up.
Yeah.
But getting participation via Zoom is, hey, that's a step better than what we used to do back in the day when, the board, hey, there'd be no one in here. We're making heavy decisions.
Sure.
You know, it's like, where's the public in here? You know?
And I think in an era where we have no local newspaper, it's probably the best thing we could do, from a communication standpoint.
Michael?
So, I think we need to keep Zoom. I don't know that you need video. But you could still get someone to call in and be saying things that might not be appropriate, but you just have to have that mechanism to shut it down.
Right.
But the video part, I don't think it's important for the public to be on the video side unless it's a presentation. There must be a way to be able to do it just through the presenter. I don't know, but look into Zoom. Is there upgrades to Zoom that allow X, Y, and Z, because we can't be the only one that's had to face something like this. But it does provide a great deal more public interaction that we haven't had in the past.
So what do you think about, sometimes I don't recognize who's on here, and we get a name, like to know if somebody actually lives in the county. I don't care where they live in the county, but it'd be nice for them.
But you could come in individually, and we would never know who you are unless you sign a card, and all we get is a name. And yeah. Once you introduce them online, they give their name. Same thing as what we do in house. So
I know that when I'm making the decision, it's valuable for them to tell me where they are. With them. And if they don't, then you've just lost that opportunity for when I'm making a decision, whether it's.
I agree.
Right? So. So let me go to the public if anyone wants to speak to the subject. How about our public information officer? Maybe she'd like to speak to Zoom meetings. One online, Anna?
Caller ending in 9516, it's your turn to speak. Battery 90%.
Hello, my name's Alice Rogers. I'm calling from Mount Shasta, California. I'm actually calling from the ski park where I've been sitting. I'm waiting to get up there, but I wanted to weigh in on this. I appreciate Ed Valenzuela putting this on the agenda. This was an interest that I was going to bring to him anyway. I appreciate all of the other supervisors saying that they think Zoom is something that we should continue. It is. It makes it so much easier for us to participate. The video is really important. The worst audio is actually the supervisors. If somebody's called in on Zoom and they're speaking on Zoom or they're doing a presentation, that's heard. When you guys speak, that's the hardest to hear and understand. And it's really hard as a calling in to identify who's speaking. That's what the audio would be good for. I mean, I have listened enough that I pretty much know your voices now, but people don't, and to follow along and be informed of what's going on, we do need video. And there's other local entities that are doing meetings, Mount Shasta City Council, that you can follow along, you can hear, it's done. It is possible. I understand about disruptions, and, you know, that's inconvenient, and they're, you know, if they have to cut us off because of that going on, I understand that. But to have the regular accessibility, this is a big, big county. For me to drive to Wairika and spend all day it's not easy to do. And you have a lot of older people in this county, you know, a lot of senior citizens, it's hard for them to get around. Somebody mentioned the weather, you don't know. And then people with disabilities that can't get in there. There's lots of reasons to keep this accessible. And I really applaud you all for saying that you're willing to keep this Zoom going, and I'm hoping we can improve it. And thank you so much.
Thank you. Anyone else online?
Showing no others online.
Okay, moving forward. I think you got enough direction there.
I do request clarification, video or no video for the board members, meaning actually video live streaming, basically, what.
I personally support that. I think people need to see us when we're interacting with what's going on. I mean, that to me is just being transparent. I mean, we are the decision makers. I don't want to ever feel like we're in the cloud behind some scenes pulling levers of some sort. So that would be my preference.
And then, Ed Kern, County Council, just do you want me to fashion some type of notice to the public to add to the agenda, which indicates that if it's disruptive behavior, the board reserves the right not to be cut off Zoom access?
That's probably a prudent thing to do.
Yeah. Keep in mind, disruptive behavior doesn't mean somebody saying something nasty. It's truly disruptive, you know. But
yeah, I think we know what that entails. We
sure, exactly.
Yeah.
So the video part on my part for the board, I know at RCRC it's a room video.
Mm-hmm. I think that's appropriate.
And it's okay. It's not great, but it's okay. But I wouldn't, you know.
I know that they use it. I've been in enough meetings, CSAC and all. Yeah. They call it the owl. Yeah. So it sit there and it's just whoever's speaking, because I think that's valuable too to see. People need to see who's up in front of that dais giving us grief or not.
Yeah.
Type thing. That, and again, this is particularly when we move into new quarters.
Yeah.
I don't know how we set up something at this point.
Yeah.
And that is on the agenda for the new board chambers. And so it is part of the audio visual package. So it's just a matter of whether or not the board as a whole wants to move forward in that direction. We wouldn't be able to institute it while current location, but when we move to the new, then absolutely. If that's the board's choosing, then absolutely we can do that.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, you're planning for it regardless, one way or the other.
Correct.
Right?
Okay. All right. Moving right along, thank you for all that conversation. Let's, where are we at there, Wendy?
I think what we've got left is minute approval for the board.
Okay, minute approval, item 12A, March 7th.
No corrections have been registered.
Move to approve.
Second.
Supervisor Help?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Okren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to go into closed session.
Thank you.